I'm America Castillo, y soy la chismosa del Valle, a first-generation DACA recipient with just enough journalism training to make me sound legit. Here, I want to have honest conversations and make it a space to learn and connect about everything from culture and entertainment to tech and politics. So let's just start talking. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I think I like touched something with my microphone. Okay. And so, did you have any? Okay, so we were talking about
The media.
the media. Okay, and then you said that you had like mix. It was kind of mixed, right? And then going back to like the comments and then just like I guess the negative part of online. Did you have any like people threatening you? Did you have any like, were you safe? Like,
There was one situation where it definitely scared me, where there was a point where I thought maybe I should stop this, where a random person was able to get my phone number and my address, where I lived. I guess they looked me up through this Google search. I guess you're able to Google people and you're able to find, I guess, their addresses and stuff like that. That was a scary, because he messaged me and he gives me a whole story. I don't have the text message anymore, but it was just a basically he was a migrant, but he was telling me his whole story. It was like maybe three paragraphs in a text message. And what I did was I called BC Defensa and talked to someone to maybe help this person. Because I couldn't help him, because I was grieving with my own, I was going struggling with my own situation.
right.
I wasn't able to help him. But then when I said that that wasn't my phone number, just to keep it, just to be safe, he got really upset and cussed me out. Like, I didn't want to say I never want to see you like again. And it was just weird. They traced the call and eventually they found it was like it was an at an abandoned church. Not quite sure where this person came from, where he was. It was just a really random message. I got scared and I just ended up putting cameras around my house and
Yeah.
just in
And
case.
then, oh yeah. And then, how, okay, so you work for the fire department, and I know you mentioned that you were a little worried about speaking out, especially with everything going out. How did they take it, and how is it like working in kind of that I guess space, like the first I guess
First one,
first
yeah.
responders, yeah. Or especially in a space where like it is very, very, very patriotic. And I'm sure we are patriotic too, right? Like we love this country too, but we understand that there's like a like not like a spectrum, but like they're not, we understand that there's also political differences.
Yeah.
Right. So, how what's it like right now? Right now with you, like working there, and I don't have a job because I spoke up too much. So how are you feeling? How are you doing, girl?
So I told them maybe before my mom got deported what possibly could happen. Like, not that this might be getting big and that might go to media. I had spoken to someone in personnel about it, and they said I wouldn't get in trouble because it was my story. But I can't speak behalf on my department and how they feel about this situation, just because it would get me in trouble.
Right.
I have to respect that, and I have to respect that everyone has their own political view on this situation. But I had sent a letter to my chief, and I had sent him the video of me at the city council where I speak. He replied back and said nothing but good things, and basically that he knows where I'm coming from and that he doesn't think that I'm doing anything wrong. as long as I'm not in uniform. And I think that I have the green light to speak about my story. As long as, like, it's very scary right now because right now people are getting fired for talking about Charlie Kirk, and
Yeah.
I believe there's firefighters that have been fired as well about that situation. I heard teachers as well, and so like I'm very scared of like losing my job over this, but so I have to just be neutral about it. I try not to mention a lot about my job, only that yeah, I am a first responder. But even when I'm at work, I put my political side on the side, and whether you're left or right, I'm always going to either save your life, help if need help, like climb that mountain when it's on fire. I have to do the right thing, and that's where I just put my political side away. You're human at that point.
Yeah.
You're human at that point, and I don't see a Democrat or a Republican. I just see a human being going through the worst thing of their life, losing their valuables, or like I have to be there to help.
Were you working when we had like the big woodland
The LA fire?
Woodsley, yeah, the LA fire, the Woodsley fires, all
No,
of them?
I was out doing on a health condition, and then also figuring out I was here with my mom during that time, just getting ready for that day, because I that gut feeling was coming that my mom might be getting deported. So I was mentally preparing for a year for the situation. I cried for like a whole year when I kind of like something was just telling me like this might be the last year being with my mom. So I was
Yeah.
preparing the last couple of months, especially when Trump came into office. I was not there mentally. I to the point where I was just I locked myself a lot in the room and just crying a lot and mentally preparing for this day, for June 4th. And I think that I had to be the strong one in my family. I always have.
Yeah, no, I see that. You're the oldest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a, we have we you take on a big responsibility for sure. And I just want to say, like, obviously, thank you so much for, being one of the first responders. Like, I don't know. I've always thought firefighters were so cool. But what you were mentioning is right. Like, in a time like that when there's like a fire. You, especially, that is your job. You know, your job is like, I don't really care about anything right now. I just gotta get this person out. And so that like makes sense to me. And okay, so I just want to kind of clarify something. Your mom, when she was going to the check-ins, was it like a monthly check-in or was it like a yearly check-in? So like you got the notification like a year in advance letting you know like, okay, June 4th, 2025, we're gonna see her.
Yeah, so usually they give you like a piece of paper and they write, okay, we'll see you here next year. Or sometimes it could be 6 months or or a month. It just depends when you get assigned to a ICE, like an ICE officer, your specific person, and that ICE officer has like a certain amount of people they have to check in, like see, they have to see you personally, making sure that you haven't left the country, you're not doing anything wrong. But yeah, it just depends, a month, 6 months to a year. That's pretty much how we were through. Yeah.
And then going back to the Apple Watches a little bit. When did your mom get, or not the Apple Watch, but like the watch,
Yeah.
can you explain to us a little bit about that? Like, when did your mom get the watch, and from your like knowledge, like what exactly is it? How does it work? Have you ever like been able to look at the screen and like, tell us like
Yeah.
what it is?
Yeah.
Kind of tell us.
Yeah, it's a They either give you an ankle monitor or like a watch monitor, and I believe she got that watch monitor, if I'm not mistaken, the 21st. She was supposed to check in May 21st, which was probably when she got the watch. May 14th, she missed her check-in because she landed in the hospital, for mental health issues. So this was where I was fighting with my lawyer. Because she was telling me that, okay, like she missed her appointment, no worries, like get me all her paperwork from the hospital, send it to me. And I was sending her all this stuff, and then she's like, I sent it to the immigration officer, we're waiting for a response, but we weren't getting a response. I was starting to panic because I thought, fuck, what if they come get my mom at her house and arrest her here? Because she missed her appointment. So I my gut feeling told me I'm gonna go do the check-in for her. I went to do the check-in. I gave the officer, hey, I'm here to check in for Maria Valeriano. My mom was hospitalized and she's on medication. This is her ID. This is my ID. Can we change her appointment? They go inside. It takes a while, and eventually the ICE officer comes out and tells me, oh, we didn't even know your mom was in the hospital. And I was like, my lawyer has been trying supposedly sent you all this paperwork that she's in the hospital. We haven't heard a response from you. And he was like, yeah, we haven't heard any, we didn't know. Can your mom come the I think it was May 21st to check in again? And I was like, yeah, I'll make sure she checks in. He was like, okay. And then go on with my day. I got in a call with my lawyer. She was mad at me. She was pissed. Like,
Oh.
yeah, she was pissed at me because I went to go do that.
Wait, why? Okay, why? Like,
Because
what?
I guess I basically it probably seems like I didn't trust her, and also because she was doing it her way. I don't maybe she was trying to extend my mom for to get an appointment for next year or something. I don't know what was in her mind, but she kind of like got mad, hung. Basically, we need to like. She was basically saying like we need to come in agreement on what we're doing, and I was like, "Well, I'm here. Mom's in the hospital. I'm here. Panic. She's having a panic attack. We don't know whether ICE is gonna because she missed her one appointment. If ICE is gonna come knocking on my door and take her on meds where she's critically bad, like not okay." Like I didn't know how to respond to that. Like I was just like I did what I thought was right, and that's where it came down to the 21st, where we came with my mom, and they were like, "Your mom's getting an ankle monitor because due to her health, we're not gonna put her on the on we're not gonna put her on the ankle. We're gonna put her on the watch monitor. Sorry, and
Due to her health, they're gonna put her on the watch monitor. What do you think that they're trying? Like, what's the difference between the monitor and the watch, like, besides the tracking?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the difference is. Maybe because it'll look more like my mom was crying already because she already felt like she looked like a criminal. Should make her feel more like a criminal, even though she's not, you know.
Yeah.
And so I guess the watch looked like an Apple Watch. So, but my mom would think that she couldn't stand it. Just she felt my mom she, at that point my mom felt more being watched. So like if she
Did
was
you?
watched before, imagine what she felt now putting that watch. Like she didn't know whether they were recording our conversations. She didn't know if they were taking pictures of wherever we were going. She was so afraid that she could not work in peace. You would have to constantly be charging that thing because it could if it lowers, like it kind of dings ICE that oh something's going on. You know, basically like a normal ankle, you know.
Monitor, yeah. And then so you but did you ever get to look at the screen? Like, do you know what the
Yes.
screen
Yeah,
looks
the screen
like?
just basically said as it has a little camera and she just has to take a picture every, I believe it was every Monday she had to like take a picture of herself. And it would like turn into a little circle just to match her face. And then it would just tell her upcoming appointments. It was basically a calendar of all her upcoming appointments that she had to go weekly.
Okay, and then I have questions, but I feel like those are the questions that I need to go and ask ICE themselves. And so,
So when they go to those, it's weekly check-ins, and it's either they can go visit you at the house, or it could be just a phone call. So they'll tell you, we're doing a house check-in, like this, like a random house check-in. It could be a house call, and they just have to be at the house all day, so they can't. They have to not go to work and be at the house all day until they receive the call. Usually what I've seen is they call like around between the time they open, 8 to 9, 10, and they just ask random questions. Who are you with? Are you at your house? And because they can see your location by saying, oh, are you really at your house? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like they know too much. Okay, and then how do you feel about this whole surveillance thing going on? Like, I know you talked a little bit, and I don't want to get too much into it, honestly, but about how people are losing their jobs because of, Charlie, just speaking out on Charlie Kirk. I lost my job because I'm a political person, not because I want to be, or because my life, it just is, like, it's like my life is political, and so I gotta speak out about these things, right? Oh my goodness, America, this is why you're, hold on. I have really bad ADHD.
I'm so good.
Oh, hold on, what were we talking about?
That you got fired.
Yeah, but surveillance. We were talking about surveillance, but I had a question. Oh yeah. So I guess in your eyes, no, I lost. Okay, how are you like? How are you feeling about this like surveillance kind of state that we're in? Like, do you think that these like Apple Watches for us are like beneficial? Do you think that because it starts with us, but or with immigrants, but the way I see it is like if they could do it to us, they could do it to American citizens. So in my point of view is like you should care about what. Like the fact that they can just track you with an Apple Watch like that, with just being undocumented. I worry about that because it's like yeah, like your mom like said, like you're watching my every step, like you're watching everything I do. How do you, but then you had also mentioned that because you were kind of scared about everything that was going on and the phone call you got, you also added cameras to your house. So now it feels like kind of a weird, not weird, but because I did the same thing. I ended up doing the same thing. I ended up putting at one point cameras in my room.
But they get hacked.
And then I'm the, exactly. And then I was like, hold on. Am I just gonna start surveilling myself? Like I realized that it became a trap too, where it was like, oh yeah, it's gonna be safer. But somehow I felt more unsafe, if that made sense. But you can tell me like your perspective. Like I guess that's just what I guess my question was, what is your perspective
Yeah,
on all of this?
I have so much trauma from the first time, the first knock, and especially when I opened the door, that every knock, when it comes to people knocking on my door or ringing the doorbell, I go to fl like a flight and fl flight or fight mode. I get it's so traumatic for me. I panic. It never goes away for me. So I thought that maybe putting a camera would be easier for me to control my anxiety and just like look at the okay, I know who it is now, instead of peeking in the hole. Even like at night, I have to like lock everything, lock, like it's so traumatizing. Like I can't even explain how, like, how I feel most of the time, like whether they'll come knocking on the door for me, or I don't know. Like it's a scary, I live it's a scary thing. Like my mom's no longer here, so I shouldn't feel afraid. But at the same time, like I do.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't go away.
Yeah. I had this question that I wanted to ask earlier, but I think we switched to community, but I'm just gonna go back to it. In our previous I guess our first recording, you'd mentioned that you didn't speak that you did speak out before, but it was mainly toward with like social media, right? That you weren't going to protest as much because you were afraid of because in a way you felt like you were protecting your mom, right? Am I right, correct with that? Like, kind of, do you recall? Yes, okay.
I can't recall, but
Okay. No, it's fine.
I did go to a couple protests here in it just depends on if I have time.
Yeah, no, like before your mom's deportation though. Like
Oh yeah,
before.
before my mom, I
Okay.
avoided any type of protest due to protecting my mother.
Okay. So my question, oh, sorry, hold one second before I forget it, because my question is, and maybe you can, and this is like something that you can help us understand, is why, and like in what way did you feel like by not going to the protest, and I mean this in like a good way, like I'm not trying to like in what ways did you feel like by not showing up to these protests prior to that, you were protecting your mom?
I was because one, I didn't want people to recognize me, because no one really knew about my mom's status. So I was trying to protect her and I'd involve myself in social media where like anything I saw wrong, like I saw I'd repost it. But that was like the what I that's just what I would generally do. But like at the protest, like I would when my mom didn't want me to go as much because she sometimes it would get violent and she didn't want me to get hurt. So I'm small and so she doesn't want me to get hurt as well. So and especially if I'm going alone, she prefers not me going. But when she left, she always tells me like, be careful, don't start violence, don't harm anybody. And I keep that in mind, and I, like I do my best not. It's my First Amendment right to go out there and protest now, and I do my best to just like keep it neutral and do a friendly protest. I do my best not to be violent, start violence.
And then now that you've gone to protest, how, what's like your experience versus like what you had seen in the media before? Because that is something that obviously like my mom has said the same thing. Well, no, my mom has also been like, they can get violent, they can get protest, but at the same time, like we've gone to them, but it really like depends, right? Like I've also have. I remember going to 2020 and going to the protests as well. And I know how it gets.
Yeah, like I said, I went to the one in LA with my siblings, and it was pretty friendly. We were
Yeah.
walking around, and then eventually, like we got to the point where we were by the ice, like it was a gar it's like the garage where they all their cars come out, and then I couldn't see really well, but I saw from what I saw is ICE start to attack the protesters. Whoever I don't know if there was ICE or if it was the cops, but they started to attack the protesters.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
1 second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, what the heck? Oh my God, what is happening? Do I need to buy a new one? I'm so sorry. What? Stop it. Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I think I'm gonna. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to keep it this way now. It's my mic. It's my mic. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So yes, the way that you now see protests, now that you're actually going to them versus like the media, how do you feel like the media is like representing them? And yeah, and so I also finished what you were discussing.
They obviously catch the action, and I think that's what they like doing.
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that? Like one, can you repeat it again? Only because I don't know where it cut off.
Yeah,
So,
I think that your video stopped.
ah,
I can't
my
see you
video.
anymore.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Let me, where is it? Okay. Here it is. Okay. I'm like having issues. It's because I'm trying to pull up a name here, but okay, go. Sorry. One more time.
Right, so you said something about media, how they catch,
Oh
like.
yeah, so the how do you feel about okay, so that's not the best question to word it, but the way that the media portrays the protest, what do you think that they're getting wrong, or how do you like see it now that you have been going to these protests and have been part of these protests? Do you think that the media is doing a great job at covering them, or
I think I'm in the middle with it.
yeah.
They sometimes do catch the the violence that it started, and we don't get to see the full picture of how it started. So I know how it could get like misinterpreted. And so I'm in the middle with it. Like I'm not,
Yeah.
yeah, like you know, they do try to get as much information, but at the same time, like, they don't get the whole picture or the
The
whole
whole
story
picture,
yet.
yeah. And were you how do you okay, so and how do you think that the media is hold on, I have a better question on it. Hold on, I know I had it. Okay, I guess not. I guess I didn't word it the way I wanted to word it. Okay, so we also had on July 10th, there was an ICE raiding in Camarillo. Jaime Alanis Garcia was 56 years old. He was a Mexican farm worker, and he passed away because he was trying to, run from the ICE agents. And it was also in Ventura County. How did you see that also kind of impact? Did that it how did that I know when you see kind of other stories and maybe they kind of hit close to home, like how did that story impact you at all? And then how did you see Ventura County kind of come out? Because I saw some videos and they showed up.
Yeah, at the time I wasn't in Ventura. I went to Fresno to handle some things, and I saw it through my phone what was happening, and a lot of people showed up.
Yeah.
I'd never seen them. I think people were I at the same time I'm glad that people showed up, and that that was the reason that. It's sad that it went like it got to that point for people to get mad. Someone had to die and for people to start showing up and getting mad about the situation, because there wasn't a lot of people that were mad about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was. Wow, I like
And
the way you worded that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, Ventura showed up, and I've never been proud. Like, when I saw how many people there was there, and there was a lot of people who, like, I know volunteers that got arrested, that were, what's that thing that they get, not gassed. I think that is right, gassed or pepper spray. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Why it's not popping up.
The cast can,
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I know which one you're saying. It's in, I
yeah,
can
like people,
vision.
yeah, like I know those people were hurting, like, and I wish I was there to just at least help in a way to, like, help them with the medical issue, because I know like people were getting medical assistance in that way, and fortunately I wasn't there. And
And hey, no, like you're also dealing with it. And the only really the reason I only brought this, and I know that story is like a different story, but it's more because we're both from Ventura County, and we know Camarillo. And when I was seeing the videos of Ventura County showing up, it was so beautiful because Ventura County does have a lot of Latinos. Camarillo is like a big farm worker, like there, that's a camp. Like we all do that, and so, but I also understand, like what you said, like why does it take, somebody to die for us to like really, really be angry? Because it felt like nobody was that angry before, but or not before, but like, but at the same, it's so much emotions. And I've taken so much of your time. But I was gonna say, what's next for you? Like, what can we do, like how are you moving forward? Like what, how what gives you hope right now? Like what now, what gives you hope?
Obviously I won't be able to do anything for my mom until 10 years. We're in the I have a petition open for her, so in the next 10 years, she'll be back, and I'm hoping that sooner if this administration changes and like everybody votes, and all I can do right now is move forward, keep working, to provide for my family, especially my mom, because Mexico is very poor, she didn't have really much, she doesn't have much there, and so my goal is to at least build her a little house so she is comfortable, where she doesn't have to work no more. I don't longer want her to work. I've been paying for doctor visits, and she's recovering from her mental health issues. She's way better. Like, she's more happy. She's obviously sad that she's not with us and she won't be spending the holidays with us, but at the end of the day, like, there's so much improvement on my mother's side, and she's enjoying being in Mexico right now, and if she's happy, I'm happy. I'm going to continue fighting for others, getting myself educated, and I think the something I would like to tell people is that if you have undocumented parents, go out to these meetings, VC Defensa, and there's also 805 on Docu. Go to these meetings and get yourself informed on how you can help your parents. And also, do your best to, like, be there for your parents, You never know if that, if you'll ever, if ICE will come and get them, It's a terrible feeling. I don't ever wish that anybody going through that. So whatever you can do in helping assisting your parents and buying groceries or getting anything they need, please do it. Like, they need you. They sacrifice to come to this country to give you a better life, and the least as us as US citizens is to be there for them. I would do anything to have my mom here. I if I could give her my papers, I would. I would do anything, and unfortunately,
What do you
God has.
have to? Oh no, continue.
Unfortunately, God knows why he does things, and I have faith that one day I'll see my mother again.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm big. And it's so interesting hearing you say earlier that you had this feeling that it was just gonna happen. And it's almost like, in a way, it's like you don't want to hear that, but he was kind of preparing you for this. And it's also, I hate that I just said that, but it's like more like it was like, in a way, how do I explain this? Because I don't want to like come off and word things wrong, but like, maybe you, like your mom started a movement, not started, but like it moved, it continued the movement, it pushed the movement further. Do you have it? And then in case this cuts out, I will like very quickly send you like a quick link that won't be as long. But do you have anything to say for like people who think that the deportations are just like that people getting deported are just criminals, or anything for people who really do not understand the situation we're in, or anything you even want to say to the ICE agents or politicians, like?
I mean, all I can say is that my heart breaks for all the families that are being separated. No one deserves to live in fear. And how can we just live in a world where we're just simply existing, simply just loving, just simply wanting a better life makes us a target?
Yeah.
They see us as threats. We're not threats, Immigrants aren't threats, Immigrants make America great. And we're basically the backbone of this country. And the truth is, even if it makes people uncomfortable, like, the first step towards real change, it's coming together as a community and being able to be brave enough to speak up. And like I said, everyone can say F ICE, but there's real people out there like VC Defensa and Adolphe Ondocu who are there helping the immigrant community and, identifying these vehicles. And stopping people from getting detained. And these, like, VC Defensa is not even funded by, like, given, like, money, like, others, like, other government, like, it's just, they do a lot. I can, I'm so thankful with VC Defensa and the people that I've made friends that. For the first time, I feel like I've made new connections and people I can relate to me.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for anybody who is probably going through this, or like maybe something like that I should be prepared for, maybe something that I don't know, like, and that you found out through this process?
I think that it's a very hard topic. Families avoid talking about the situation. In my family, my mom especially avoided talking to me of having a something prepared. She never wanted to hear it. And I think that it's important for families to talk about like a plan. What if I if you get detained, like the family member gets detained, having a plan, like money, where you're going, somewhere, just having a plan in general can, instead of winging everything, I just if talk to people that you trust and
So who would be the first person to call if ICE has my mom? A lawyer?
you're I mean, yes, your lawyer, but yeah, your lawyers, and obviously, like I said, these numbers, like BC Defense and 805, they get you in touch to with what you need. If you don't know what to do, they have a plan, who you have to contact, how to contact your family member, how to get their, and also having their A number is important. If like having a lawyer is important, because they're able to track the A number to get a hold of your family, how to send money, how to like get, everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And what has this chapter taught you about just strength, love, home?
It's taught me a lot of trauma. It's given me so much trauma. I don't sometimes, but it's also made me stronger, and I kind of like, my mom always tells me, "You're the daughter who I never have to worry about." Like, and it kind of hurts, because I was like, "Mom, why do you tell me this?" Like, it hurts me, because what do you mean you're not worried about me? I was like, "Yeah." Like, she always tells me, "You always figure it out." My mom was very hard with me when I was a child, but I think that her being hard on me, also prepared me for this day. And so I thank you for being so strict with me. But I
Do you think it was worth it for your mom to cross the border?
yeah.
Why?
Because without her, I wouldn't be where I am at right now. My mom lived very poor, and I think she didn't want me to go through that. And I'm glad she came over here, and she loves this country like her own.
Yeah.
She was here for 35 years. She was learning English.
Yeah. And no, you're right. And I think with immigrants, with everybody in general, like there is nobody is perfect. Like nobody. And I think when there's immigrants or we're daughters of immigrants or just in that the pressure is there, like we just have to be perfect. We cannot mess anything up. It ruins everything for the community, but I think my friend said it really well. She was like, there is no perfect, there's not a perfect victim. And then there's also not like a perfect, oh my God, I ruined it. I was like, because she said it really well, but she's like, there's not like the perfect immigrant. There's not the perfect like anything. Like everybody has flaws, right? Like,
Yeah.
and then you bring in the media. And then they know one little flaw about you, and it's the end of the world. So I get it. I hope that we can talk to your mom. I know you're going to Tijuana soon, right?
I'm
Tijuana?
going to Oaxaca. She's sick.
Oaxaca. Sorry. She's going to Oaxaca, y'all. How's your mom now, right now? Is she doing good? I would
She's doing
like.
good. She's right now, I bought my brother a ticket to Oaxaca, and so he was there for 2 weeks. He's coming back Friday. And so yeah, he was there for the El Grito. Yeah, so
Nice.
my mom is having a blast, seeing my brother, because obviously she won't be able to see him for a while, because he's in school. Next is me for a couple of days. And
Yeah.
yeah, I'm yeah.
And I forgot to ask real quick, bad journalist. After she got deported, like what happened to her? Like would she and I'll go much into detail with her, but real quick, like where did they put her and how did she end up wherever she is now?
So she got de deported right away, and I think the very next, I think the day after the 4th, the 5th, and she was put on a bus and sent to TJ. And then from TJ, she arrived to the Casa de Inmigrante, where she was given a proper meal and a place to stay. I believe they give you that you can extend it for a week, to stay there. And They also give you a ticket to fly back to your home country, even if you don't have a passport ready. They have all like a setup there. And yeah, that she was very, when she arrived at TJ, she felt a little relieved, like she was free. She not didn't long have to be in that detention center no more.
Yeah. Okay. And oh my God, I'm sorry. I took so much of your time. Okay. And so, last couple of things. Any last things you'd like to say? How can we help you? I know you have a GoFundMe, so I will for sure put that. I know I've been changing my links way too many times, so I know I say I'll put it on my link, but then I'll change my own link. But I will definitely put that. And is there any other ways that like we can do to help you and just help the community? Like, what can we do right now moving forward?
To help me, I mean, I have my GoFundMe open. A lot of that money is given to my mom. I take it out and I put it in a little fund for her. And so whenever she needs food, any doctor visits, anything emergency wise, like it's given to her. Everything goes to her. But yeah, I mean, if to the community, just be more involved in your community and do your, if you see something, say something, that's all I got.
You're fine. Awesome. And then anything else? Anything else you want to say? Any last thoughts? Just
No,
anything we I feel like I missed something. I feel like I have
But I'll
more
say
questions.
this because we always say this in Bici Defensa, and it's like solo el pueblo salva el pueblo. So yeah,
Wait, say it one more time.
solo el pueblo salva el pueblo.
Solo el pueblo sabe el pueblo.
Salva el pueblo.
Oh, solo el pueblo salva el pueblo. I love
Defensa.
that. I love that. So now,
Yeah.
are you like volunteering with them now and
Yes,
everything?
I
Like
do.
you're
Yeah,
active?
I'm a volunteer. I go to the meetings. Certain meetings I go to, and I'm there helping with when they say, hey, this might be ICE, I'll go check it out, see if it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And then just for like fake news or anything roaming around, like how can we do to avoid that? Because sometimes they will be like, I'll get like a text message and I'll be like, ICE is over here. And then like I could tell that that's just like not
Yeah.
ICE. What can we do in those situations?
We get those type of tips, and I mean, that's why I say it's so important to go to these meetings, because there's a slideshow how to identify these vehicles, what exactly we're looking for, and so we don't start scaring the community. Because like the other day, like today, like I got sent to possibly ICE, but it was a sheriff. Because you know how sheriffs now have these different type of vehicles. I don't know if you know, but they're like camouflaged vehicles now. They don't have that original highway patrol vehicles. Like you, it's like
Okay.
I can't. They're so different. These new
Yeah, I think I've
coming up
seen
with,
some around here. Yeah.
yes, and yeah, they're coming up with these new vehicles, and they could be portrayed as ICE, but it's not. But yeah, and yeah, it's just like I said, going to these meetings will educate you and what to look for, whether it's ICE or not, and especially about your rights, what rights.
Real quick, how would we know when it's like if somebody sends me a photo and it's like, hey, like ICE might be in your neighborhood? How do I know if it's not ICE, if it was just like a fear mongering kind of post that was roaming around? Like, what would be one thing to identify?
That's it. It just depends. Like I said, I don't want to say too much because I don't know whether we
Okay.
yeah, we see the fence. Like
Okay.
there's specific people that are that know how to identify these vehicles, and
Okay.
they just let us. Like I kind of know, because only they have really dark tinted windows, and they usually park like face front. Like they don't park
Backward. I
backed.
mean,
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
and they're always in their cars and they're idling. That's how I like kind of to tell. It's just depends. I like I said, these meetings will help you identify all those questions that you have and how to identify them. They will answer those questions there.
Okay, perfect. No, I love that. I love hearing that because I just don't want to make sure people are not getting like misinformation or anything. Anything else that maybe we don't know, any misinformation you're seeing out there that you're like, this is
No, that's it.
also, I'm thinking so much of your time. Erica, thank you so much for your story, sharing your story with us. I love, seeing everything you're doing, and I'm like seeing that you're, becoming more active in the community. I really sad that I can't be out there right now, but I know that if I was out there, that you, me, and all my friends would be, at the protests or just doing things or crying together, And so, yeah, I just want to say, again, sorry for losing
No, you're no worries.
that. And again, it's like not even that I wanted to make the story about me as I was like editing. It was more like, oh my God, this is, I do have PTSD from being in the hospitals, and or just work and stuff, but it did, it triggered a lot of being inside. So I think I could move forward now and actually finish this, and not
Hope I said the
lose.
right things. I feel like I'll be criticized either way, but
And you know what? That is gonna happen. We have a political life, and it just is like people don't agree with me all the time, even my own people, But the way I see it is like I like, I mean, no, I don't. I think maybe for us, it's like we this could be constructive criticism. We can learn how to work around it, make something beautiful out of it, really. But yeah, so I just want to say thank you so much. Definitely would love to just follow up, talk to your mom, and then yeah, just continue, with everything. Don't be afraid to reach out. I have another friend too, like, when
don't be scared to reach out. I mean, if you come here to visit,
I
and
will
a
for
text, and we
sure.
can meet up, we can have
Yeah.
dinner, and
Yes.
I will send you a text when my flight is there, and when we can have a meeting with my
Yeah,
mom.
because I know last time we spoke too, like, it was so heavy for all of us, and I think we also said like we want your mom to just take some time. So yeah, if she's like ready, and it would be nice to just have a part two. Yeah, and thank you so much, Erica. I will actually leave you alone now. Have a good rest of your day.
Too. Thank
And
you.
then I'll keep in touch and everything, okay? All
Yeah.
right. Have a good
See
one.
ya.
I miss you. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the chisme, share it, send it to a friend, post it online, or just talk about it with someone. However you spread it, I appreciate it. And if you want updates, behind the scenes chisme, or to stay in the loop, keep an eye out for my email newsletter. Follow or subscribe for more episodes of La Chismosa del Valle. Catch you next time.